My name is Eric Glass. I'm the Associate Vice President of Product Marketing at Call Review, and I am joined today by the indomitable Nolan Brink from Jim Shorkey Kia of Wexford. He's the GM. He's the group GM over there. Nolan, how are you today?
Doing wonderful.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me. Really excited.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We're very excited to hear, to be talking to you about from data to action and your playbook around how you use specifically our call tracking and analytics and our different softwares to really enhance the operations there within the Jim Shorkey group. So with that, a couple of things that you guys can expect to learn today, right? From this webcast. One is, you know, closing the gap between that call data and frontline performance, how that really enhances not only just the call tracking analytics from the GM side, but also that customer loyalty and experience. And I know if you're joining us again and you're a fan of the Auto News webcast, you've heard me talk about that several times before on other webcasts that I've been on. But also, you know, where most dealerships are getting stuck, Nolan is going to help unpack a couple of those things and some of the challenges that he faced at Jim Shorkey, specifically at the Kia dealership. And now that he's the group GM, how he's leveraged that. And then really how we're going to dig into some of the role of AI in surfacing insights that you can actually use. So with that kind of groundwork laid, let's go ahead and jump in and get you going here, Nolan, because nobody wants to hear me talk at all. Yeah. They're here for you. So you can give us a quick overview of your store's operation, things like size, team structure, and where you've been focusing your attention as we are halfway through 2025 here.
Yeah, sure. So I oversee our Youngstown location in Ohio, which it's two stores there. And then it's a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Mitsubishi location. And then also the Kia store here in Wexford. We do have 20 stores overall. So I cover, kind of the northwest few points. And started off with the Kia location. And I'll tell you what, very blessed, very fortunate. I have a wonderful team, great brand, good location. But coming here, I'm initially from Pittsburgh, worked here locally for a decade for another auto group, moved to Florida for a short bit, worked for the Morgan Auto Group, which was where I had my first bout with Call Review, which really, it was a great positive experience that, I ended up bringing to the Jim Shorkey Auto Group whenever I moved up here. But initially coming into the Kia store, that store I have, it fluctuates between 60, 70 total employees. My sales floor right now, I have, we're at 16 salespeople. We're close to 300 cars a month. We're not quite at 300 cars a month, but upper twos. It's more heavily weighted new than used. And some of that is capacity constraint. We have, 3.4 acre lot and the showroom's so small, you can't fit a car in the dealership. It looks like a call center when you walk in. We're out of space, but we're working on that currently. But, coming to this store, one of the issues that we had, and there were multiple here, but one of the biggest issues that we had was with a short staff and a high customer load, we didn't really know what we were missing.
Yep.
We had a lot of customer issues because follow-up was a challenge because we just didn't have the size of team to really handle what needed done. So one of the first things I did, I did add Call Review here, and primarily it was for customer experience more than anything, because, I was getting note after note after note from the receptionist. Hey, this person's not getting a call back, or, this person's been trying to get a hold of finance for 3-4 days and they're angry. So my day initially was 80% just putting out customer fires. So I added Call Review and we set up, the very first thing I wanted to do was set up alerts for, anytime that we drop the ball,
right?
Or, we told a customer that we were going to get back to them, never did, which that falls under drop the ball. Or, in our process, we're very heavily manager involved, and whenever it comes to setting an appointment, you know, we were rebuilding the team. We had a lot of new people that did not know necessarily the word tracks as well as we would have liked. We were training, but with green new people, it does take some amount of time. So being able to know, like, how's my team doing? Like,
right.
What if there isn't a positive sentiment? How can I get a manager involved quickly and turn that around? So call review, setting up the alerts. You know, we have it set up where if no appointment is set, management team gets an alert. And based on our process, if a sales consultant does not set an appointment, there is supposed to be a turnover to a manager where, you know, they take an opportunity to work with the customer and hopefully set the appointment. And if a manager gets an alert and there's a recognition that no manager was involved, I can immediately tell if there was a break in process. We can have that quick coaching moment. Or if there is a call that happens and there's a negative sentiment, we can have a manager immediately involved, reach out to the customer, and hopefully turn that customer experience around. So what started off as, you know, hey, I just want to increase the experience for the customers, it has evolved into, you know, how do we tie it into our sales process and maximize our opportunity? So then we took it one step further. And, you know, one of the things that we recognized when really digging into the data is our phone traffic was less than our walk-in traffic, which it just isn't real. Typically, people are going to call in more than they're going to walk into your dealership. So I knew that I had a data issue there. So I knew that everything wasn't being put in the way that it should have been. And, you know, the old school way is have a receptionist create a phone log and then audit it multiple times during the day, which you can do, but it does give you blind spots. So, you know, we were able to integrate the call review into our CRM. We worked closely we have a boutique CRM that isn't super well known, but we had them create a call log. That way, every time a phone call comes in, it goes into the call log, and then managers, you know, will approve or decline if it was a real sales call. And what we've recognized is our phone calls went up. So our actual phone calls didn't go up, but our data was more accurate. So, you know, it's really hard to coach and hold people accountable if you don't have the correct data.
Right.
You can look great on paper. I can say, hey, I'm closing at 45% phones. You're not.
And I think that's a common thing we hear a lot across a lot of the dealerships that we work with, especially now as we get our halfway through it's 2025. We're starting to see a trend of the sales reps are answering the phone. They're using the phone. But now a lot of the dealerships, just like you said, are looking for that layer of accountability on what you're actually doing on the phone. Are those conversations being effective and using the tools to get there? So it sounds like you specifically and the rest of the group are starting to become a lot more process-driven, a lot more data-driven. What's something differently that your team is doing that surprised you today, you know, that was different than, you know, 18 months ago?
So 18 months ago, I just got to this store, and I'll use this location versus the location that I was at down in Florida. I would say that the level of manager engagement on every customer is higher. So whenever I first got into management, I was very acclimated to running very lean with management. And, you know, we were coached to, hey, we're going to run lean and mean and just go make it work.
Sure.
Well, the challenge with that is when you run too lean and mean, it's really hard to have the actual accountability and squeeze all the juice from the lemon.
Right.
So, you know, the way that I was brought up versus how I operate today, they're two completely different approaches where I run a little bit heavy in management. I run a little bit leaner on the sales team, and we're working on building efficiency, you know, per sales rep. So last month, and we'll talk about Kia Wexford, we ran, you know, close to 20 sales per sales consultant, which is, you know, well above. I mean, that's probably double industry benchmark.
Right.
But the benefit to having, you know, maybe one more manager is I'm getting a lot more out of each sales consultant. So yeah, there is, you know, a somewhat of a high level of comp for one manager, but every person's getting more.
Right.
So just adding that additional accountability, making sure that we have very tight processes and having people assigned to every layer of accountability.
Yep.
Where, you know, I have one manager who, you know, they have a few priorities every single day, one of which is call review. And that is making sure that every phone call that came into our CRM is accounted for, but then also, you know, going through and auditing the alerts that come across,
right,
and recognizing those areas where, hey, we had a negative customer sentiment. How do we turn it around? Who was the desking manager? Who was the salesperson? Do I get involved or can I huddle the three of us together?
Sure.
I mean, those alerts come within 15 minutes. And when you think of a customer's perspective, so let's say, you know, if they call us and we give them everything that they are looking for, guess what? We're setting an appointment or we're selling them a vehicle.
Right.
If we don't, we're not. You usually have 45 minutes to an hour before their brain starts processing, I'm going to just completely move away from this dealership. So if I have the data point in 15 minutes and I have a few minutes to regroup with everyone, put together a plan, I can be back to them in less than a half hour and flip that switch.
Right.
And from the time of a phone call, you know, they're not going to call us, immediately call someone else, be in their car and at another dealership within a half hour.
Right.
So, you know, just really trying to think like the customer and kind of work backwards. At the end of the day, we should be able to have a solution.
Yep.
Just because one person didn't have the solution doesn't mean we can't put our heads together and create a solution for a better experience for the customer.
Sure. So when you, thinking back to 18 months ago, you know, what were some of the, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question to you. What do you say that when they went from the, you know, you brought Call Review up from Florida, and then, you know, what were some of the things that got in your way or some of the objections that you saw that the teams pushed back on when you wanted to implement a system like this?
Yeah. So whenever I initially brought this system in, I was running a little bit leaner with one less manager, and you know, I put a lot on my managers. My managers are worth every penny that they get paid. And, you know, they run and gun all day, every single day. And adding an additional item to their workload was something that, you know, could have been slightly overwhelming. And, you know, the initial pushback was, I already have these things that I have during my daily routine that I'm accountable for, that I need to handle. You're adding something else. And really the surprise that came about, and I needed to take a lot of my personal time to make sure that I was able to find opportunities and show it to them and then quantify it and then really relay the why behind it to get the buy-in. And, you know, once we started digging in and we found, okay, well, here were a dozen CSI opportunities that could have really changed how we finished last month. Here were, you know, this many missed appointments where we didn't even know that we missed the appointment or we missed the manager TO on the phone call. That could have, you know, if we got half of those as appointments and we sold half of those,
right,
that translates to more gross. But where it really started to click was whenever we integrated into the CRM and say, hey, what if I told you that I could add 50 to 60 more phone ups this month?
Mm-hmm.
How much would that change your pay plan? And they were like, oh my gosh, how are you going to do that? Are you going to spend the extra money in the marketing to do that? Like, look, you already have them. You just don't know it. Let me show you.
Yeah. And I think that
was the turning point.
Yeah. I think that's a big aha moment that we see at a lot of dealerships that we're working with is they're already getting the phone calls. They're just not taking them. They're not tracking. We're going to change gears a little bit here and taking, you know, the data to action gap, I think is a good a segue into that topic. So when you came in, I want you to unpack that a little bit more. It sounds like there was a big blind spot in what the calls were that actually were coming in. So how did you overcome that blind spot and use the data that you were getting from the calls you're already getting to kind of turn that around?
So I think I understand what you're asking me, but whenever I did my consult, and I like to call them my consults, what I like to do every couple months is treat my dealership like I don't work there. And I put on my consultative glasses and I dig in and say, okay, well, what does world-class look like? What do we look like? What are the missing components? And then build out an action plan. And then I run for 2 months straight where, you know, I'm going to work heavily in the trenches, and then I'm going to reevaluate again. And I'm going to continually do that, trying to drive continuous improvement. And, you know, I did bring up earlier how I, you know, during one of my consults with my store, I recognized, hey, this doesn't align. Your phone ups are never less than the walk-in traffic that comes into your showroom. And I was able to, you know, take that data really quickly and say, okay, well, I'm going to create the action plan to fix that. How are we going to do that? Well, we need to integrate it into the CRM. Once it's integrated, what's the process look like to make sure that that doesn't fall by the wayside? And trust me, we're not perfect. We're far from perfect. I'll never hit perfect. I'll chase it until I'm dead, but I'll never hit it. But, you know, that was the segue from taking data into creating the actionable item. And then most recently at our Ohio locations, that's an overhaul. You know, that location was not doing well financially. And, you know, I went in there in February, and fortunately, like, we've had a quick turnaround call review, and a few other things were, implemented immediately, and, you know, training and making sure that the right people in the right seats and the right processes. But we've been able to turn that around. I mean, gosh, we were profitable. We went from, you know, losing a substantial amount of money to being profitable overnight. And still have a long way to go, but I'm very excited at how well it ties into our processes, our culture. And, you know, coming into today, I'm so amped up about my team. They went from, you know, bottom in the district to right now they're sitting number one in the district.
That's awesome.
Congrats. And you know, we have a long way to go. I hope they keep that lead. I don't know, you know, with time, we're going to continually chase for that. But, you know, it's just, how do we get to the next level? How do we be a little bit better each and every day? And when you look at the parts of a dealership that are vitally important, it's communication first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Communication can solve all of your problems, but if you don't know how you're communicating, or the, you know, I always talk about quantity and quality. If you don't know the quantity or the quality of whether it be a phone call or anything else,
right,
how can you chase getting better?
Yeah. How can you measure? And really one of the rules I kind of live by is, you know, you try and get 1% better, whatever that is, you know, whether that's 1% better a week, 1% better a day. And, you know, a lot of people are like, that doesn't make much move a needle. But if you think about that over the scale of a year, I mean, you get 1% better a week, you're 50% better by the end of the year, and you keep plying that on. Last question on this section is, you know, you guys are one of the heavier alert users that we use. How did you bake that into the process? And then, you know, how do you use those alerts and the insights that they bring to help coach younger reps or your managers to get, you know, let's just say 1% better?
Yeah. So when I was in Florida, I really struggled because of our operational setup. It was odd. You know, some luxury brands have, you know, they don't want sales consultants to have desks out on the showroom, and, you know, they want the boutique set up and no computers anywhere. So it was like herding cats and trying to make sure everyone's workload was getting done properly. And I'm not allowed to have, we didn't have an area that made sense for people to work efficiently and effectively. Right. Well, I needed to find a way to be able to manage them well and understand where my issues lied, with follow-up and, you know, phone conversations, major part follow-up. So I wanted to know every time that we could be doing something better. So I set up alerts, and I made sure that I had a specific folder in my Outlook specifically for call review. And I still have that today. And as I'm checking through emails, as I see those alerts come up, what I would do is I would get with my management staff. Hey, did you guys see this? You know, I would just make sure that they knew that I was aware of it and they needed to be aware of it until sure. It became part of the culture where they were doing the same thing. And then once they were recognizing, hey, I have a new alert that came up. Well, at that moment in time, we're immediately pulling, you know, the sales consultant in. We're going to talk about what did you do really well? What were the opportunities for, you know, getting to the next level? And we were having that in the moment training. But mm-hmm. then at that point in time, let's make a phone call together. That way you can see exactly what we expect.
Right.
And doing that really helped us move the needle. And then, you know, coming up to, you know, up to Pittsburgh and to Youngstown, you know, Youngstown, we're working through that right now, but you know, we've done that pretty well at our Wexford location. And we typically run one of the higher closing ratios in the company on the phone here. Not quite what I want to be yet, but we're chasing it. And that layer of accountability and having the information fed to you real time mm-hmm. lets you have more impactful in the moment training and coaching.
Yeah, that's awesome. So real quick, switching gears, because I know we're getting close to time. You know, and we're going to talk a little bit about the real world impact, right? And I know we've touched on that a little bit. But what are some of the KPIs that you personally watch very closely outside of the alerts to make sure your teams are, you know, performing, you know, in the operating at a level you want them to?
So in terms of call review, I would look at the, you know, the metric for how often are we dropping the ball?
Sure.
I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at a lot of, you know, missed appointments. And in terms of the CRM, I think I'm looking at the same things that every other person's been looking at for the last 20 years. And that's, you know, what is our quantity that's coming in? So what is my volume of phone ups? Well, now we actually have a way of tracking it. And then from there, what is our appointment set percentage? What is our appointment confirmed percentage? You know, I want to make sure that I have managers involved, make sure that customers know that not only is your sales consultant here for you, but as a manager, we're here for you. We're going to you know, have the vehicle ready for you. It's going to be clean. It's going to, you know, we're going to have a refreshment ready for you if needed, or if you want. And, you know, kind of set the stage on what the process is going to look like once you're in. But just making sure that they know that as a management group, we want to help you as well. So the appointment confirmations I do put on management. And then from there, I want to look at the appointment shown rate and then what is our overall closing percentage. And it lets me break it down, you know, pre coming in and post coming in.
Right.
How are we with the process? Do I have an issue training on the phone or do I have an issue training in store? And then, you know, we do weekly training at every location. And we do daily meetings every single day. And we try to add some level of training into every single meeting. But, you know, I want to be the GM that's looked at like I'm going to out train whoever. And I want my team to say, hey, there is no reason why I can't win because I've been given the resources that I need to win. And really you know, at that point it's on me and my personal drive and my personal discipline. And then still at that point in time, my managers, if I have someone who's not disciplined and I have someone without drive, it's my management's duty to help them, you know, help them find that. Yep. So,
and just following up on that, have you seen a big difference in your team's ability to follow through with that training, that weekly training on leads, whether it's service opportunities, you know, phone ups, you know, anything that's coming in?
Yeah, I do. I think that we can do a lot better on the service side at both my locations. I do need to put more emphasis there. Really on the service end, I haven't gotten to the next stage yet, but right now it's more or less like, how do I prevent issues by finding the negative sentiment pieces and course correcting those? But I'm out of capacity right now. I have probably half the bays of what I need, and I don't have enough space for the amount of people that I need to work here,
right,
which we're currently working on. We're opening up a new service facility here in the very near future. But, you know, right now, as much as I hate operating in triage mode in service, it's a little bit of triage mode at the current moment in time.
So as we wrap here, I got a couple more questions for you. Are there any processes, thinking about, you know, let's say the next 12 months, are there any processes that you're thinking about automating or refining further this year? And what does that look like?
Yeah. So not call review related. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, I don't know. But, you know, we have a lot of, like, call review does a great job at auditing phone calls and communication.
Sure.
So one of the things that I really want to dig into and find a way to get better at is making sure that we are auditing the other areas as well. The communication through text, the communication after a customer comes in from the showroom and we're trying to get an unsold showroom back in as a B-back or trying to find a way to wrap up a deal. Or, you know, we get past the initial engagement of a phone call and it ends up transferring into a text or an email chain. You know, how do I audit the quality? The quantity is easy to audit, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of, you know, you'll walk into a lot of dealerships and they'll say, hey, I need, as a sales consultant, I need you to do 20 phone calls, 20 emails and 20 texts. Well, I don't operate that way. Like I want to communicate with people at as much or little as I need to move the needle and get further down the funnel. I think that there should be a minimum amount of effort that is put in by everyone every mm-hmm. day, but there's a big difference between, hey, are you still interested in buying a car versus, you know, hey, I just walked past the vehicle that you inquired about this morning and it couldn't help me think about you. And I just wanted to touch on a few points that I know that you're going to love about the vehicle. And I would really enjoy spending a few moments to show you how, you know, these specific features are going to provide you and your family value and benefit. Well, how do you audit that? And there are, you know, some potential options that are out there to, you know, to do that. But I want to make sure that I find a way to automate those audits and then serve up a feedback loop to my managers for feedback with the team on those areas as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what do you, this is going to be a little bit, you know, abstract, but what do you think the dealership of the future is going to be doing differently from how most operate today? What are you thinking about now in the next 5 years on, and we can lump AI into that answer and how some of that automation is going to come through, but how do you think that's the dealerships are going to operate, you know?
Yep. So I love bringing up AI because it's a very hot topic. Everyone's talking about it, and you have some dealers and people in the industry that are very anti AI. And they say, well, you know, you can't lean on AI whenever, you know, they call it car guy intelligence. Like,
yep,
you can't get rid of car guy intelligence. And then on the flip side, you have people that are like, oh my gosh, I love AI. It's going to replace everyone. Well, I think I don't lean either direction. I think that I'm somewhere in the middle. Me personally, I think the dealership of the future looks like a more efficient dealership mm-hmm. where, you know, people are not, I don't think that you can replace people. But I think that AI can supplement people.
Right.
And I think that we can become more efficient in, you know, as leaders, we can get feedback loops based on AI. We can make more intelligent decisions. I can get the information presented in front of me, the information that I want presented at the timing that I want, so I can review it and make quick decisions faster.
Yep.
From a communication standpoint, from whether it be an advisor or a salesperson, I think that, you know, the AI will help fill in gaps that we have, but then also increase the quality of what we are doing. So it's just amazing, like, you know, how intelligent AI is. I go home the other day, my wife, and we just built this new house, and we have these new built-ins next to the fireplaces. So yep. She takes a picture of it, puts it in ChatGPT, what should I put on these shelves? And it lays it out. Top shelf, you should do this. Second shelf, do this. Third shelf, you should do this. And I would suggest these colors based on the tones that you have.
Yep.
And, you know, even from technicians right now, some manufacturers are not really easy to go in and go through the,
right.
Go through the diagnostic piece of fixing a car. Well, AI is going to change that.
Yep.
It is. So from the technician working on a car to an advisor or sales consultant, communicating with the customer, adjusting how we communicate, sounding more intelligent, you know, tailoring our verbiage to be the right tone.
Yep.
AI fills in a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
So I think that we become more efficient. You might need, you might be in a situation where you can run with less to get more, or you can run with the same and get more.
Absolutely.
So that's what my take is on AI, but I think we all are going to need to lean into it if we want to have, the greatest amount of success and actually utilize it.
Yeah.
And, it is a tool. And like I told you, I just moved into a house and I'm working on a landscaping project. I started off shoveling out this dirt on the side of my house. And I'm like, I'm shoveling entirely too much. So I went and got a skid loader.
Mm-hmm.
And I put 6 hours into shoveling and about 20 minutes into the skid loader. And I got similar results.
Yep.
And that's where AI comes in. It is, yep, a tool, but we need to use it.
I agree completely. Last question for you. What's one simple action those watching could take this week to better operationalize the data they already have?
I think the one simple action would be doing a hard look into your data and asking yourself if it's actually accurate. Because garbage in is garbage out. Unless you have real data that is accurate and you've taken the time to set it up so it can be accurate, how can you make an informed decision?
Yep.
And, you know, what we talked about earlier, you know, my store thought that they had the correct phone up count and they thought their closing percentage was good. Well, guess what? Whenever we add in the real phone count, our closing percentage wasn't great. So there wasn't a great amount of training because they thought they were good.
Right.
But, you know, someone very wise told me things are never as good as you think that they are, and they're never as bad as you think that they are. And I think that this applies. There are a lot of dealers out there, you know, myself included, at different points where I thought I was better than what I really was. And then on the flip side, you know, whenever you find one of these areas of opportunity, there's no reason to, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction. It's never as bad as you think that it is either.
Yep.
Put together a solid plan, put together a solid training plan, and everything can come full circle fairly quickly.
That's awesome. Well, Nolan, thank you so much for joining us today. This was an amazing conversation. And thanks again, Auto News, for hosting this webcast for us. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. My email will be down below somewhere on the page. And then if you have any questions for Nolan, I'm sure we can get you in touch with him as well. Thank you again for joining us, and take care.